May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always in thy favor. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're laughing a little here because the altar party is kind of trying to figure out what to do. I asked them to come down here and they were a little unsure about what they were supposed to do about this. So this is an interesting day. I'm sorry I don't have a microphone yet. I have all confidence I will have it next week. So I think we'll get back to normal eventually. But today is kind of a different day anyway because I just have a story and some things that I want to talk with you about. Can everybody hear?
Yes.
Okay, if you can't, please come up farther so that I never want to tell these stories again. So it would be helpful if you would. Anyway. So there's a guy who is stranded on a desert island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And he has lived there for years and years and years and had gotten along pretty well. Not great, but pretty well. At any rate, one day a ship sailed by close enough that they saw him. And they put a boat into the water and they sent the boat out to see about him and to rescue him. And when they landed on shore, they were astonished at all that he had done. They looked up and he had built a house. And they said, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. And he said, yeah, it's my house. I live here. It's you know, it took me a long time to build, but I like it very much. And they said, well, that's wonderful. What's this other building over here? And he said, oh, that's my church. And they went, oh, that is so wonderful that you would build a church that you would go to. How wonderful of you to do that when it's just you yourself. And then they said, what's that other building on the other side over there? And he said, oh, that's my other church. I didn't like it anymore. Forgiveness isn't easy, is it? Even in churches. I am so horrified when Jesus says, tells Peter that we're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. That's forever. That is forever. It's not just once or twice. And I think that people in this day and age have gotten to be like bumper cars. You know, we go around in our life, we're driving our bumper car, and we drive into somebody and we find out we don't like them, bump, and we just turn and drive the other way. We don't bother to get to know them or to do anything about it. We just remove ourselves, as that guy did. He didn't like his church anymore, so there he went. It was gone. I have gotten so used to just saying, oh, I'm sorry, or whatever, and it drives my husband, David, crazy when you say, oh, I'm sorry to a younger person, and they say, no problem. You know, forgiveness is not that easy, but it does become just a routine. I got out of my car one day at my cousin's house, and I ran into a tree, and I said, oops, I'm sorry. A tree, for heaven's sake. How stupid is that? But, you know, we just get used to doing things the easy way. But I have a personal story that I think it's high time I shared with you. I know I've told a few people, maybe in Bible study or somewhere along the line, I've told some people, but I think Forgiveness Sunday is the day to tell you. A long, long time ago, long before I ever met my David, I was in a relationship with a man. I thought I was in love with him. He was charming. He was funny. He was intelligent. All of those wonderful things. And he was also really a raging alcoholic. Really, really difficult. I was young. You know, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And so we began this relationship. And I have to tell you, even though I was young and stupid, I was a willing partner in this disaster. There were several times that were really bad. One time he got into a fender bender and drove away from the scene with me in the car. The police caught him very quickly. I mean, that wasn't hard. Everyone else around him wasn't drunk, and they saw it. And so they reported it to the police. There was one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a call to come to Council Bluffs, Iowa, which was just across the river, but the bars there closed an hour later than the bars in Omaha. And I got called to come pick him up at the police station because he had been arrested for drunk driving. And there were other situations. One time, his driving was so erratic and terrible that when he finally stopped the car, I threw the keys out the window just into the field so that he wouldn't be able to drive, because I knew he would. I knew he would think he was perfectly fine. I thought I was in love. And so I did every single one of the things that people who are partners of alcoholics do. I helped him when he got in trouble. I tried to smooth things over with his employer. I stopped nagging at him. I partied with him. I tried to drink in order to keep up. There are so many destructive, horrible things that one does in that situation. I finally got so fed up with it that it ended. And not long after that, I left Omaha and I moved away and started a job someplace else. And years went by, as far as my reckoning goes, probably 6 or 7 years. And then one day I got a letter from him. And it wasn't just any letter, it was the letter that Alcoholics Anonymous requires people to write to people that they have hurt and ask for forgiveness. It was 12 pages long. 12 pages. And it took me days to read this letter. And finally, I just ripped it up and I burned it. You know, what can you do? And life went on. I had some awareness of him. Once I knew that he was in AA, I kind of had people who would give me news about him. And I found out that he had married a wonderful woman. And I was happy for him. He had a son. And the son was the light of his life. And I think probably the best thing he ever did in his life. And I was so happy for him that he had done that. But I eventually realized that I had suffered real damage. And so I went to a counselor and I got some help. My problem was I was so hard on men that it was impossible for me to have any real relationships. I was so tough on men that it was lonely. Very, very lonely. But she helped me. She helped me to think it all through. And she helped me to come to grips with how to separate other men from this particular fellow. And she helped me so much. Eventually, I met David, and thank goodness I have been able to forge a wonderful relationship with him. You may be interested in whether or not I ever confessed this as I was going through postulancy, preparing to become a priest. And of course I did. Of course. And as I told the story at that time, one of the priests on my committee said to me, you know, going through such a thing makes you stronger. It makes you better able to help people that you are going to serve in your role as a priest. And I am certain that is right. It has given me a whole different perspective. But I also was going to a spiritual director. And one day, she asked me if I had ever forgiven him. And I realized I hadn't. So I left her place, and it was up almost close to Oregon. I left her place, and I cried all the way back home to Sterling. And I had to rethink everything because I had never forgiven him for what he did to me. And worse yet, I had never come to grips with my complicity in the whole relationship. And I had never asked for forgiveness for myself, nor had I ever forgiven myself. What a disaster that is. Because that kind of guilt and fear and anger just sits in your heart like a rock. It just buries you in this horrible feeling of despair. Well, now you'll be happy to know that I have forgiven him, and I have forgiven myself, although I keep coming back to that on many occasions and finding more and more than I need to wrestle with. But by the time I ever forgave him, his disease had caught up with him, and he passed away at the age of 54, which was very young. And so I never had a chance in person to tell him that I did forgive him. I never saw myself as a victim. I never saw him as hurting me. But worse yet, I never saw myself as hurting him. I haven't told you this horrendous long story just as a confession for myself to make myself feel better. Sometimes just talking about it helps you. It helps you deal with it. I know that the letter he wrote to me helped him deal with what his life was like. That helped him be able to marry and have a son that he could be proud of. And I know that my work with my counselor and my spiritual director helped me come to grips with my own problems. But this gospel admonishment that we hear today, that we're not to forgive somebody one time, but 70 times 7. And not just one person, that it has taken me 19, 20 years to forgive, but everybody who hurts us is a frightening, frightening admonishment. We have to deal with that. Jesus wasn't exaggerating. The only way we're ever going to be able to have a world that we can live in is if we start forgiving people. And if we start asking for forgiveness. I know that there are millions of white people in this world who do not understand when somebody says, we are privileged. We don't feel privileged. We feel poor. We feel kicked around. We feel like everything is beating up on us. And that makes us behave in a hateful way to the people who are members of Black Lives Matter. But our race was responsible. I wasn't, you weren't. But our race was responsible for kidnapping, enslaving, beating people, keeping them in horrendous conditions. When our government was formed, slaves were not even considered a full human being. We need to ask forgiveness. And we need to pray that we will be forgiven. We have people in our government off saying, oh, I'm going to go over and I'm going to bring about Middle East peace. Not until there are lots of stories that have been told. And lots of people asking for forgiveness. And lots of people giving forgiveness. And lots of people, therefore, being able to build relationships. We can't be bumper cars. If Jesus had even known about such things, his parable probably would have been about bumper cars and the fact that we are not allowed to interact with people in that way. We're people, and God says we are to love everyone, to forgive everyone, and to live our lives the way He would want us to live. And He is a person who, if anyone knows what forgiveness is all about, it's Jesus Christ. Amen.